Welcome to this week's installment of 91 Weeks with the Holy Spirit. This is Pastor Rock Dillaman. This week, you've been reading the exciting, dramatic story recorded in the book of Exodus. It is clearly a story that demonstrates the power of God to liberate His people. All across the world, people are inspired by the story of the Exodus and the story of the human leader of that great liberation, the man we know as Moses. But this week, reading the first 12 chapters of Exodus, you probably noted there's not a single mention of the Holy Spirit. So you're probably wondering, Pastor Rock, what are you going to do this week? Where are you finding the Holy Spirit? Well, I hope you know by now, we'll find the Holy Spirit in a number of places, even though He isn't mentioned by name. And I want to begin this weekend by addressing the topic, why isn't the Holy Spirit mentioned more often in the Old Testament? In the New Testament, there's great emphasis upon the person, power, and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why isn't that the case in the Old Testament? Let me offer several suggestions as to why that's the case. First of all, God works with us where we are, not where He wants us to be. Whenever He begins to work in our lives, He always starts with where we are in that moment. Now, when He started with Abraham, when He started to raise up a people who would know Him, know His truth, and then be His messengers to a broken world. When He started all of that, He started with a man who was used to a polytheistic world, a world with many deities and many gods. That was the normative thinking in Abraham's day. And he was going to, that is, God was going to raise up a people who would be monotheists, who would realize there is only one God. One God who is the creator of all humanity. One God to whom all of humanity is responsible. One God who is humanity's only hope. Well, it was tough for those early Hebrew people to accept the idea of only one God, seeing as how all their neighbors had multiple gods. And they struggled with that. They struggled with that all throughout the period of their history that is covered in the Old Testament. How many times as you read the Old Testament do you find the people of Israel, the people of Judah, embracing idols, embracing the idolatries of their neighbors? They always struggled with the concept of only one God. So since that's where they were when God started with them, God didn't emphasize the Holy Spirit. God didn't emphasize the Trinity. Because if He had, they would have quickly heard Him as saying, there are three gods. And to illustrate and affirm that, today, Muslims bring the charge against Christians that we worship more than one God, because of our belief in the Trinity. Jehovah's Witnesses level the charge against us that we are guilty of idolatry and worshiping more than one God because of our belief in the Trinity. So even today, people struggle to embrace the concept of one God who exists in three persons. And knowing that they would struggle with that, God held off on the development of the doctrine and the teaching of the Trinity and of the Holy Spirit until He had first convinced them that God was one. So that's why you will not find repeated references to the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But as I've been saying all along, we see the Holy Spirit at work, even when He's not mentioned. And in this week's readings, we see the Holy Spirit preparing a leader, empowering a leader, and then using that prepared, empowered leader to liberate a people. The first thing we see in this week's reading is the Holy Spirit preparing Moses. Much of the book of Exodus is about Moses. And it's been said that Moses' life could be divided into three chapters. The first 40 years, when he was raised as royalty and taught that he was something special. The next 40 years, when he cared for sheep out in the wilderness and God made it clear he was nothing special. And then the final 40 years of his life, when he led the Exodus and performed miracles, because by that time he was convinced only God is special. So before Moses could liberate his people, the Spirit had to disavow him of the notion of his own sufficiency. He had to disavow him of the notion that he could lead the people. He could go nose to nose with the Pharaoh in his own strength and in his own power. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does with us today as new covenant believers. When we come to Jesus, we still carry with us in our backpack the notion of our own self-sufficiency, of our own power, of our own wisdom. And the Holy Spirit has to teach us how to take up the cross of Christ, how to deny self, how to walk in humility, how to get free of that notion that we are sufficient without God. The next thing we notice is that when God prepared Moses, he prepared him for the benefit of others, not just for Moses' benefit. And there we see another example of how the Holy Spirit works in us. Everything the Holy Spirit does in us is for our benefit. God loves us, but it's not just for our benefit. It is for the benefit of others. And if we would come to the understanding that everything God does in us is not only for us, but also for the benefit of others, it would spare us from a lot of confusion and a lot of questioning of God. We would look at prayer differently. We would look at our life circumstances differently. Another thing we saw in this week's reading was the Spirit giving Moses the power to perform signs and wonders that were intended to confirm that God was with him, not only to the powers of Egypt, but perhaps even more so to the people of Israel. They were not going to follow Moses out of the seeming security of slavery into the threat of the unknown if they didn't believe God was with him. So the Spirit gave Moses power to perform signs and wonders. Pharaoh hardened his heart despite those signs. That's another reminder that miracles alone do not produce faith. And the people of Israel, even though they followed, repeatedly questioned and doubted and rethought their decision. But the Holy Spirit gave him power to do signs and wonders. The Spirit gave him that power so that he might liberate others. And again, that's the reason the Holy Spirit empowers us today. Not so that we can do tricks and impress our friends with our spirituality, but so that we might be involved in God's great mission to liberate lost people. Something else I want to point out before we conclude. In chapter 5, you'll read about Moses confronting the powers of Egypt and the powers of Egypt responding by making the lot of the people of Israel even more difficult. They clamped down on them. They demanded that they produce bricks without the benefit of straw. So in chapter 5, we literally saw things getting worse before they got better. Even though Moses was moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, things got better, or worse, before they got better. And I just want to remind you that when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, that doesn't mean everything is going to go smoothly, everything is going to be easy, and everything is going to get immediately better. Sometimes, as the Holy Spirit is preparing us for eternity, sometimes, as the Holy Spirit is preparing us for greater fruitfulness, things have to get worse from our view before they get better. So when you're looking for the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, don't be discouraged when things get worse. Understand that's probably God's providence doing what is necessary so that things can get better. So again this week, the Holy Spirit is not mentioned by name. But again this week, the Holy Spirit can be seen everywhere, working in the shadows. I trust that you'll continue to look for His working in the shadows of your own life, and have a great week following the Lord. God bless you.